Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have a commercial from our new sponsor, Efficient Home Services. I am so excited to welcome them to Joy on Paper and just to thank them for supporting this program, where I am trying to support all of the authors out there who have wonderful books that I want you all to read. So at the bottom of the hour, we will hear about EHS, and it's Go Solar, Go Savings, Go EHS. But right now, you know, today is a special day. It is Rosh Hashanah, and I was thinking of the what book I wanted to talk about. And I wanted to bring back an interview I did with an author who I admire so much. And as you will hear from this interview, you know, I get such a kick out of the interviews I do, but this one was particularly fun because it was a book, as you will hear the enthusiasm in my voice. And it is written by Mark E. Klein, and it's called Franklin Rock. And it's a very, very special book. There's a Jewish expression, it's beshert, and I mentioned it in the interview. It was meant to be. And I have officially, when I had him on the program, I talked to Dr. Klein and I was thinking about it, and I said, I need to do something special, and I've been trying to think of what I could do special for authors of the books that I really, really think that you should read. And so I started what I call the Patsy Awards. Now, I'm a little bit late in getting it all done because it's been a difficult year. But I finally found an artist who has designed the award, and I'm going to print some up, and I will make this award for those books that I really admire. And I hope that, one of the things that I want to do is try to influence people to read more, because especially during this time, for those of you who have discovered reading for maybe the first time in your life, you had some time, downtime. Reading has really changed you. And for me, of course, I read over 10,000 books. But when I got this book, it was really quite a magical moment for me. So here's the interview I had with Dr. Klein back in March. And after that, I want to talk a little bit more about this book. Right now, I'm turning to Dr. Mark Klein, and this is really fascinating. I've been looking forward to this now ever since I finished his book, and I just want to welcome you, Dr. Klein, to the program. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Patsy, for inviting me.
Okay. Well, the name of the book is Franklin Rock, and I have to tell you something, Dr. Klein. This is very funny. I wasn't going to read your book, actually. Starting in September, I started getting all these books based, I think, from the pandemic. They wanted to sort of cash in on the pandemic and write inspirational books and books that were supposed to take you out of the pandemic mode. And I was getting so many, and my poor mailman, I told the publisher, send them to my home instead of to the studio. And I was getting so many, and I got your book, and I wasn't sure what it was. I never read the PR stuff that the publicist sent, because I don't want to sort of prejudge a book. But I had it there, And I had it, you know, in the pile, and I'd walk past it every few days, and, oh, well, I wasn't sure, you know, I was up to anything inspirational. I was sort of in the mood for thrillers, murders. I wasn't really ready for it. And then one night at about 2:30 in the morning, yes, I picked it up. I just sort of thumbed through it. I looked at the cover. I thought, oh, okay, well, you know, I like the name Franklin Rock. And I opened it up and opened up to page 138. Now, if I hadn't started with that page, I don't know if I would have jumped into the book like I did. I certainly wouldn't have stayed up all night. Thank you, doctor. All night. And that's the page where Franklin is applying for a job. You write, the application was pretty straightforward. Mostly demographic information was requested, plus a place to list previous employers. You know, so I'm reading this and I thought, okay, what's he? He's going to get a job. He's going to get in a hospital. And then I discovered he's getting a job as an orderly. Well, he's in college, which is unusual to get a job as an orderly, but he wants a job. The first thing, of course, everybody who doesn't know, an orderly's job is to do bedpans. Now, I was a candy striper when I was a girl, so I have emptied more bedpans. Well, you can imagine how many bedpans. I was 14 years old when I started working. It was a community hospital, so they didn't really care too much about Social Security and the fact that I shouldn't be working. I was tall for my age. So I started from the time I was 14 to 18, I was a candy striper. And that was a wonderful job. I mean, I loved it so much. I had so much fun. And I emptied so many bedpans, so many. So the minute I saw Franklin's going to be emptying bedpans, well, that got me. So I sat down and I started reading from there. And I read like about 30 pages in. And I said, well, I should go back to the beginning. I should start at the beginning. But by that time, you had me hooked. And I was reading it all night long. And I was so happy. You know, there's a saying in Yiddish, beshert. And it was just beshert. That I picked it up and that it opened to that page, which reminded me of my wonderful days working as a candy striper and working in a hospital, and what you write there about working in a hospital, about the meaningfulness of it, just captured me. So I just want to thank you for this book because I love it.
Oh, you've made my day for sure. One is because you were a candy striper and you cleaned bedpans. I've cleaned many in my time, and so we are kindred spirits already. You know, what you uncovered by opening the book to that page is what I call a Franklin Rock moment.
I know.
Franklin Rock moment, I'll give you the definition, is when a hint of the mystery of the universe is suddenly and unexpectedly revealed, meaning it's more than a coincidence. It's like this little crack in beneath the veneer layer that is our regular lives, to see that there's something more. These connections, we call them coincidences, but we all have them, and we all know they're not. There's something going on. So that's what, in my terminology, you experienced by opening the book to page 138, a Franklin Rock moment.
I did.
It just kind of grabbed you and said, pay attention.
Exactly. I mean, as I said, because I have a pile of these books that people have sent, and I'm they're well-meaning, and they want to, you know, to inspire people, and they want to, you know, get people from, you know, worrying about the pandemic and give them hope and all that. But most of them just didn't interest me. And then when I got this book, when I started that, and I fell in love with the book immediately. You know, within a few pages, I was hooked. Of course, I realized the philosophy behind it, what you're talking about, but, you know, but it just, you're right. It was one of those Franklin Rock moments, and the book is filled with them for me, too, because, of course, reminding me of those wonderful days when I, you know, working in a hospital, I think it is a shame. I really think everybody should work in a hospital for a little while. It gives you a new perspective. I know my son volunteered at a seniors hospital. You have a different understanding when you do that.
You do. I think your idea is brilliant. If everybody worked in a hospital, I don't think people would want to hurt people as much, because the humanity just goes right through to your soul. There's a character in the book you may remember, Maurice Burnside.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I created Maurice Burnside. He's fiction, but you're a writer. You know what I mean. You know, he's a part of my life now. I mean, he's a made-up guy, but he's part of my life. I think about Maurice Burnside and what he has to teach all the time, just for the people who obviously hadn't a chance to read the book. Maurice Burnside is one of the people that Franklin meets when he's an orderly, and it turns out he's an elderly black gentleman who has a completely different life history than Franklin, but teaches him, takes him under his wing, and for multiple reasons, really teaches him about the fundamental rules of life, how to behave, and so on. And he's just a wonderful character, and yes, he's with me all the time now.
Well, I think he will be with everybody who reads this book, because he is a memorable character. As I'm reading it, you can see his smile. You can see that the glow, that the way that he faces life, and it's beautifully written.
Oh, you are so kind. I'm so grateful for your words. You know, somebody who's read as many books as you, I think you wrote somewhere, you've read over 10,000.
Oh, well, 10,000 when I started the program, more than since then. I just celebrated the 6th anniversary of Joy on Paper.
Well, congratulations. When somebody like you says that it's well-written and they enjoy it, as you well know as an author, that means everything. So I'm very grateful for those kind words.
Well, I consider this a little treasure. Because there's so many aspects, you know, the philosophy that sort of woven throughout it. I love the section about the Talmud. It's funny that you mentioned there the ethics of the fathers. When I was involved with Hebrew school, I did an entire sort of semester presentation about the ethics of the fathers. But the thing is, you know, that is near the beginning of the book. And I'm not sure, even with that, if I had started, that wouldn't have been the right place for me to start. I started at the perfect spot. And because by reading that section, I was hooked and I just fell in love with Franklin Rock. Do you want to explain how you came out with this idea? I mean, we don't want to give away the whole story, but it is very clever. You've done a beautiful job. There's time travel in it, but it's different than, you know, some stepping into some phone booth or plastic bubble or something. And
funny you said that. I tell people, you know, the time travel is not, it's not a time travel book. There is time travel, but it's a vehicle for Franklin to learn. And I've said to people, it's not like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure where they get into a phone booth and travel through time.
Yeah.
His travels are very unique and they're short, but they're always for a lesson, for him to learn something, uncover something, discover something about him or his mission. Franklin, I'll tell you quickly, Franklin Rock is an idea I had started, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I began with this concept of this character who could time travel, and he'd be the vehicle for the important themes I wanted to present in the book. I talk about this book as like ice cream with vegetables in it. It's a sweet story, that's the ice cream, but there's a lot of good stuff in it, a lot of good vegetables. Franklin Rock is really, honestly, my Save the World book. You know, as a doctor, we spend every day trying to help people. That's what I think the vast majority of doctors are really in it for. You just want to help people. It's a tremendously satisfying profession. But when you get addicted to this sense of wanting to help, of wanting to assist other human beings. And I thought, okay, how do I scale that from going from the one-on-one interaction I have every day to something more? And so I started writing some books, and I decided this time, rather than write nonfiction, which my other two were, to put this in the context of a story, something people love, as you well know, people love stories. And I thought if I could write a story that was fun and it moved quickly and was entertaining, but in it, literally stuffed it full of these important themes that the character like Maurice Burnside we mentioned and others. And Franklin learns, I'll tell you real quickly, Franklin, as a college senior, has this epiphany. Well, I won't say his epiphany. It's a vision. It's a vision of his future. And he sees his whole life laid out in front of him. Not in detail, but he understands there's something that, A, is going to make his life incredibly interesting, and, B, there's something about his life that's important. And he goes on to learn that he has, in fact, a mission. He has been chosen. And chosenness in this case is not, you know, to win a prize or become king. A chosenness is a responsibility. He learns he has this great responsibility. And that responsibility is nothing less than to fix the world. And so the book is about his journey to learn about his mission, how to address his mission, and finally to try and take on the mission and accomplish it. And he meets some very interesting characters, as you mentioned. He has a mentor who's a very interesting guy, a college professor. And, so the book starts when he's a college senior and moves forward in time. And the part you talked about in the hospital is when he's now actually just graduated college, first job. He has no idea what, and again, he just falls into this, and it turns out to be an important conduit for him to start to learn what he needs to learn to accomplish his mission, what his mission is really ultimately going to be, and he moves on from there.
Well, you know, as you said, it's not time travel like people think. So it's sort of blended in a way, I suppose. So many of us have felt that way, that we have, particularly writers, you know, we're working on a story, we're writing, and a character from the past will take over as we study history, as we learn. So it's all seamless. And of course, along the way, he is supposed to, the man who fixed the world, there are things that he has to do and learn. I was so happy that you wrote this book, because people do not understand how very difficult it is to be a doctor. You always think of doctors as being rich and making money, and they're in it for the money. But it takes a lot out of you. It really can be so draining. You're dealing with people who are suffering. Sometimes people say, well, doctors don't care. You know, they have to be analytical. They have to. But it's not true. And I know that doctors suffer sometimes terrible burnout. And I was really happy that you've taken all of your experiences and put them here in this book. As you said, these little kernels of vegetables, whatever, throughout the book, wisdom that you've learned over the years. I immediately realized that this was not one of these, what I call my, now the pandemic-y books, that there's a lot of thought, a lot of deep, deep thought in this book.
This book took literally years to write. And, you know, I would say that, getting back to the doctor theme, most doctors, they may get into medicine for varying reasons, but inevitably you get hooked on the drug that is the ability to make other people either well or to, you know, for instance, the most important thing a doctor does most days is just listen. If you just listen to a patient, they will tell you just about anything, and you don't even have to wave your magic wand or give them a drug or anything, and by the time they're done talking, they just feel better because somebody cared and somebody listened. And, you know, to me, I call those the golden handcuffs of medicine. That's what keeps you coming back. I would tell people, if you want to get rich, don't become a doctor. Certainly not now, maybe 50 years ago or something, but not now. You have to do it because you just love the ability. You love the science, but you love, through that science, the ability to impact people's lives. And that's why I wrote Franklin Rock. I mean, I'm at the point in my life, I'm only doing this for one reason. I want to move that needle. I want to make the world a better place as much as I can. And I'm not unique. I'm not the only person who wants to do this, for sure. But I feel that's my personal responsibility. Just like Franklin, I have a mission. And my mission is to move that needle, to make people appreciate the value of life, to understand the optimism of life, to understand themes about time and life and death that really will change, and making choices that will really change the way you view your life, the way you view other people, and make it so much more rewarding. And again, together we can, it's everybody's responsibility to try and make the world better. I look at all the politics now and all the divisiveness, and I'm thinking, you got it exactly wrong. This whole idea of dividing us into groups, you know, by gender, by religion, by color, by all these things, it's exactly the wrong thing to do. Maurice Burnside, if he were here, would look at these people and say, no, you got it completely backwards. We should be moving together, you know, ignoring the differences and celebrating the commonalities. That's the message of life. And I fear in this country now we got it backwards. I'm optimistic we will turn it around, but that's one of the reasons I wrote Franklin Rock. I mean, again, I'm not trying to paint myself as a messiah here, but I'm just trying to do my part. And that's what Franklin Rock's all about, doing my part to just help make this country, this world, a little bit better.
One of the things that will come out of it when people read this book is that, yes, they will know that Franklin Rock is the man who fixed the world, but each and every one of us can also be the person who fixed the world. If we really just stop for a while and think things through and say, where can we put our energies? What can we do? And how mentally we can just change ourselves to, well, look at the bright side in many ways. It's that there is hope, because I think people did get perhaps more cynical. I mean, even I got for a while there, and I think that came around September, October, when I was getting these books, I was getting very cynical about everything. So it was really great when I read your book that, yes, you can be dying of cancer, you can be dying of something, and it's terrible and it's awful, but you can look forward to at the same time. And you've captured this attitude beautifully.
Well, thank you. As Maurice Burnside told Franklin, when things are really bad, when your life is tough, when things are hard, go help someone else, the burdens of your own life will instantly lighten. And that is, if we get no other message in our lives, that's it. Think about other people instead of yourself. Being right is way overrated. It's not important to be right. That's not the issue. The important thing is to help other people, to lift other people, because as you do that, you're not only doing something for them, but it takes the burden off your own life. Maurice was 100% right. When times are tough, go help someone else. He calls it a magic trick, and it is a magic trick. And, you know, as you said, everybody has the ability to fix the world. It's not just a superhero like Franklin Rock or some, you know, famous person. No, no, we all have the same equal ability. And when we understand that, we stop worrying, looking at ourselves as being victims of one thing or another, understand that in many ways we're omnipotent. We can control everything, and all we have to do is look after each other. That's when the magic starts. It's really not that complicated.
Well, I'm looking forward to this book being translated into many languages. It's so funny to me, you know, I review, of course, many thrillers, police procedurals and all of these, and they all get translated into 42 languages. And I wonder sometimes, do these people really understand some of the nuances of our police procedurals and stuff? But they get translated to 42 languages. And as I finished this book, I was thinking, gee, I wish this would be translated into, I think there's 126 languages or something at the UN. Yeah, they all need it. They all need to have this attitude that things can change. It's not just the states that people think, well, there's no hope for peace. There's no hope for nonviolence. It's always going to be with us. But it actually doesn't have to always be with us if we don't want it, but we have to.
Exactly. Brilliantly said. You couldn't have put it better, I don't think.
It's your first book.
First novel.
Not first fiction. You've done it brilliantly. All of my listeners out there, I'm going to have this year, to celebrate the 6th anniversary of Joy on Paper, I'm going to have what I call the Patsy Awards. I'm going to give awards to books that I think people really should not miss. And that really can inspire. I mean, really inspire, because this book wasn't written just quickly to inspire people. This book was written with deep thought and great heart. And so I'm going to award you a Patsy.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I just decided to do it when I celebrated the anniversary the other week. I said, I have to do something. You know, they give you gold stars on Amazon, and they give you, you know, thumbs up and all sorts of stuff. But I want to make the Patsy something that people will say, okay, Patsy says I should read this book. And I want people, you know, they have all these people who now, you know, inspire people to do stuff. Well, I want to inspire people to read this book, because I think when you finish this book, you will say, yeah, there's something I can do. I might not be able to do everything, but I can do something. So I'm going to award you a Patsy. Once I design it and have a official thing, I'll send it to you, okay? But you're going to be my first Patsy Award winner.
Goodness. You have, not only have you made my day, but you have inspired me, because that's the whole reason I wrote this book, the entire message in the book. That's why I did it, just so that people would think, yes, we can make a difference in the world. The world can be a better place. It doesn't have to be violent. It doesn't have to be cruel. And there's a message to life that supersedes all those things, and it's all about how we treat each other in relationships. And so, yes, you have absolutely made my day, and I cannot thank you enough.
Well, everybody, the book is called Franklin Rock. It's really a great book. It's by Dr. Mark E. Klein. And do you have a website that you want people to go to, or where do they find you? Facebook? Where do you like people to look for you?
Mark E. Klein, M.D. So M-A-R-K, middle initial E, K-L-E-I-N, M-D. MarkEKleinMD.com.
Okay. Dr. Klein, it's been an honor to have you on Joy on Paper today. And you are now officially the winner of the first Patsy Award for a great book for 2021. Okay?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Patsy. It's been an absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough.
Bye-bye. You take care.
Well, I will tell you, I believe that we will explode out of this pandemic, and we will be back together the way we should be very shortly.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And first, I want to say, oh, that was a wonderful, wonderful commercial for EHS. And thank you, Big Ed, for doing that. It's really great. And again, thank you so much, Steve Plathy, for joining the Joy on Paper family of people who love to read and love to promote reading. Now, one of the things I've been doing lately is I started these little literary gems, I call them, lit gems, that Jim Lamb, who is a fine author and poet, has put together to help people start to think about the writing process. One of the things I've discovered is so many people who, you know, over the past year particularly, who have been listening to the program, and I do appreciate all of your emails. I just love it when you email me. And my email address is patsy.radio@gmail. So I'd love to hear about your progress from that moment that you've made the decision, yes, I'm going to write, but where do I start? And one of the things that, you know, people will say, well, so many writers, you know, they don't know where to start, but once they sit down, and it's almost like magic, really, until you experience it, where the characters become so much a part of you that you almost, well, you can't believe that your life existed without them. And I love to see that happen. I love when an author gets so into their character that the character is real to them and real to me. One of the reasons I enjoyed so much Franklin Rock by Dr. Mark Klein is that I got into the story so deeply that I forgot it was a book, and which always happens to me if I really like a book, it's a movie in my head. And so that's why I wanted to play this interview with Dr. Mark Klein, because I think you heard the enthusiasm. And that's what was important to me. If I get that feeling when I read a book and it's so exciting, I want to share that with you. And over the past, you know, years here that I've been doing Joy on Paper, I've discovered a lot of authors. One of them who was on the program last week was Carol J. Perry. And this is, so she's, today is Pub Day plus 1 week. And her new book, and a wonderful series called Haunted Haven, which is set right here in Florida, And the new book is called Be My Ghost. And it's one of those books you get into. And it's just so much fun to read because you really feel that she's writing about characters that are, well, they're real. They're real to me. Once you read the book, you'll always think of them as real. And certainly I know she does. And that's what I love. I get so excited when I find that in an author. So we're going to play now a new literary gem from Jim Lamb. And this one is about adverbs. And as you'll hear from adverbs are interesting. You know, it's a terrible thing in high school that so many people are turned off of reading and writing. And that's why these little hints and little ideas that Jim is giving you about metaphors and hyperbole and all of that help you to start thinking in terms of, yeah, I can do that. I could write. So here's a literary gem from Jim Lamb.
Mark Twain said, if you see an adverb, kill it. Elmore Leonard said, using adverbs is a mortal sin. And I can't even repeat what Stephen King said. The horror. An adverb is a part of speech that when used right is heavenly, but when used too often, yuck. Hi, I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. There was a popular TV show for kids back in the 70s called Schoolhouse Rock. I loved it. Schoolhouse Rock covered a variety of topics, including grammar, science, history, and math. My favorite episode was about adverbs. It went like this. Lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. Got a lot of lolly, jolly adverbs here. The lively little tune explained that an adverb is a word that modifies a verb. It can also modify an adjective, another adverb, or even a group of words. The Lolly song claimed that an adverb was positively very, very necessary. There's just one problem. It's not necessary, that is. Why? Because some writers overuse adverbs. Others don't know how to use them. And some writers use adverbs to add to their word count without adding any value. And that's a very, 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 very wrong thing to do. However, when used wisely, an adverb can clarify. For example, take this sentence. The painter painted the house. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now let's add an adverb. The painter painted the house neatly. Notice how the adverb clarifies what kind of job the painter did? Another nice thing about adverbs is how quick you can make one. Quick becomes quickly by simply adding an ly. Slow becomes slowly. Neat is transformed into neatly. And remember, an adverb can modify or qualify, and in doing so express a relationship in terms of time, space, circumstance, manner, cause, or degree. For example, consider the following. I felt the movie ended abruptly. Aunt Jenny's teacup must be handled gently. My neighbor answered the survey truthfully. Here's some context. Carefully, correctly, and easily are adverbs of manner. Adverbs of place, here, there, outside. Adverbs of time, early, soon, tomorrow. Adverbs of frequency, always, daily, seldom. So remember, use adverbs thoughtfully, carefully, but with restraint. I'm Jim Lamb, and you've just learned a little something-something about adverbs.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim, for that. And again, all you have to do, if you are just starting off, you know, it gets so confusing. You know that you want to write a book. You have it in you say, I have it in my head. And you don't know what to do. And there are many books out there. You know, you can buy so many books that will give you advice on how to write. But in the end, it all turns out to be one thing. It turns out to be that you have to sit down and do it. You don't learn, well, you learn from books, but until you see your words on paper, you can't start. You can't even start to understand the impact that your words will have until you see them. that when you see them on paper and you start analyzing sentence by sentence, word by word, then you will find yourself into, you will get so excited by it, by the process. And as you go along, then you have to learn rules, you have to learn, things. But in the end, it comes down to that emotion and that feeling that you put on paper. And when you find those characters that are within you, I want to mention Rita Moreau. Rita Moreau, you know, I've been getting such a kick out of Rita Moreau's books. It's so funny. She has created two characters that are so memorable. Once you read one of her books, you will never forget them. And I love the way that she's just, you know, I know her. I had met her before, and she started doing book buzzes here at for us. And her series, Mary Catherine Mahoney series, very funny, whodunit kind of mysteries. And then when she decided to write a new series, I thought, well, that's going to be fun. And then she came out with this character, so unexpected, Mabel Gold, and who's on a real adventure, traveling across the country, carrying a trailer behind her. And really, I just got such a kick out of it because Rita introduced a friend, a ghost, a spirit, something, who joined her in this camping adventure. And the name of this series is The Kooky Campy, don't get mad at me. It's kooky. It's a kooky mystery series. Sure, Rita's listening, and she said, yeah, look, Rita, it's a day after a long weekend, but it is Kooky Mystery Series, and there, it was in her. You know somebody, and you'd think, well, is there a character, somebody living inside her? And then this character just pops out, and it's just so, it's almost a dramatic thing to happen. And I know for myself, I'm writing a book, which I'll be writing forever, but the characters are alive to me, and it makes it so much fun. It makes your life so interesting when you have these extra people that you can carry around with you and talk to, and they talk to you, especially in this pandemic-y time where we're not going out and about with people as much as we used to. But I just want to thank so much, Dr. Mark E. Klein, for this book, Franklin Rock. I'm going to award some other Patsy Awards. The anniversary of Joy on Paper will be in March 17th. Can you believe it? It's going to be 2022. And at that time, I want to have a whole bunch of people that I want to give an award to. And one of them I would love anybody who has an idea of, if you've read one of the books that I've recommended, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com and tell me why you liked a book and what drew you to the book, about when you heard the interview that I conducted with the author, and then what you thought of the book. Because I would like to talk about that during the anniversary program. So, altogether, I'm having lots of fun. And as I said, today is a special day. It's Rosh Hashanah. And I wanted to do a book that really I think is significant. And so that's why I did Franklin Rock. And I hope that you will try it. It's one of those books also that, it's not categorized so easily. You know, this is always a problem with books. They want you to you have to make a description. It's about this or it's about that. The fact is, this book, there's some element of, I don't know, it's not sci-fi, definitely, but it is inspirational. It's a wonderful novel, just a story. It's just simply from the point of view of a storyline, fantastic, and very, 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 I think, enlightening. So, again, Franklin Rock, and it's by Mark E. Klein. Now, I want to do also another book buzz. This one is a book buzz that Devon Miller did. And Devon Miller started here in January doing book buzzes. And he is an amazing young man. He writes a series called Mr. Tickety Talk Clock. And he was just recently named Sunshine Ambassador because of all of the wonderful volunteer work that he does in our community. He is a very giving young man. When he was young, when he was a child, he spent a great deal of time in the hospital. And it was in the hospital that he got this idea, looking at a clock and saying, you know, why not make it into a character? And that's what happens. It's so wonderful. You can do, you might come out with a character like Mabel Gold, a middle-aged woman who's on an adventure carrying a camper across the country. Or you might be somebody like Devon Miller who looks at a clock, and all of us spent hours and hours. And I used to sit and look at that clock in my during my school years, which I hated. I didn't like school. Mostly I didn't like school because I had better things to do. But Devon came out with this wonderful character, which I hope we will see at some point in cartoons, because it's a wonderful, wonderful character. And they're delightful books. And now he's doing the book buzzes for us. So we're going to play a book buzz, and then I'll come back, and I want to talk about one more thing before I end the program today.
Hey, everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. It's summer, and that means it's the perfect time to go to the beach, go camping, and maybe even take a walk around the park. But if you ever do leave your home, and you have a pet with you, make sure you bring them along, or you might have a similar story to the character Jill from the book Illegal Beagle, written by Sandra Orique Gonzalez and illustrated by Nelly Ogakayan. In Illegal Beagle, readers are introduced to Buttercup, a beagle who seems well-behaved, but when his owner Jill leaves the home, he goes crazy. He chews up the sofa, he chews up the shoes, and teases the cat. But what happens when the owner catches him in the act? Illegal Beagle is a book that reminds readers the importance of building and rebuilding trust, and it's a story completely told in rhyme, which is so much fun. Although Illegal Beagle is written in rhyme, Sandra only writes in rhyme sometimes. Sandra took inspiration from her parents as they would delight their traditionally Portuguese community through musical rhyming arts known as cantoria and velhaz. It was there that she fell in love with the playfulness of children's books after viewing her parents' passion for humor and quick wit. Sandra even has her own dog named Ace, who's a Poochon. Let's hope Sandra's dog Ace is a well-behaved dog as opposed to Jill's dog Buttercup. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's book buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, well, I want to thank Devon for that book buzz and for all of the work that he does in selecting the books. I was talking to someone in New York City, a publisher in the publishing business, and I showed them the books that he selected over the past 8 months. And they say, you know, Devon has incredible taste. I mean, just from the point of view, I mean, he's a young man, and yet he has this really in-depth knowledge of children's books. And I want to just read the first page of this wonderful book he selected, because I get such a kick out of it. I love kids' books, and I have hundreds of them. But this is an example of how, if you want to write, you can, and it, you don't need to have no fancy words. You don't need a big vocabulary. The best books probably don't have any big words or you know. So often I really get frustrated. Sometimes people will write me and they'll say, "Oh, well, I didn't do well in high school. I'm not that good." But the real words that touch people's hearts are really simple words. And this one, this Illegal Beagle, the first page starts, "There once was a beagle who acted quite regal. It seemed he was fit for a throne." Now, isn't that beautiful? I mean, just there, the minute you read that, you know that you are in for a treat. This is one of the most delightful children's books I've read in years. Just hearing those words, seeing those words on paper, beautifully illustrated, by the way, really beautifully illustrated. If you have a child in your life, if you know a kid, get this book and send it to them. And if you don't have one, then get this book and send it to one of the children's hospitals in your area, or to Shriners, or to St. Jude's. You know, if you've got extra money, buy half a dozen and send it to the hospital, because the hospitals really appreciate it. Kids in hospitals need books, and I just hope that, you know, you have this feeling for children, that you understand that if you're in they are in the hospital, they need somebody to care about them. So if you send a half dozen books to a local hospital, they will be really, really thrilled. And now, you know, again, that's sending or doing something like that is, we have a word for it. It's called a mitzvah, doing a good deed. And that certainly is a good deed. If you want to do something really special, send some books to a children's hospital. That's the best gift of all. And now, you know, I usually end the program telling you to write, but I've already been telling you to write. And so I want to end the program today for everyone, for all my Jewish listeners and for everybody. This is the new year, Shana Tova, L'Shana Tova. I hope that it's been a difficult time for all of us. And one of the things that I've been, of course, thinking about and just thinking about where we are going in this world, and that I hope that this new year, which is coming up, will be better. But meanwhile, I want to also think about the past. And one of the things that occurred in my life was that we had the opportunity, and thinking about the difficult things in life, we went to Poland for the 50th anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And we were there, and at that time I was thinking about where we would be in 50 years, and hoping that somewhere along the line we would all get smarter, better, and just perhaps a little bit from Franklin Rock, we would find the strength to be better people. Anyway, when we were there, my son played a concert for a charity concert, and I want to play that song now that he played there, and just I'm thinking about all of you and wishing everyone Shana Tova. And so we're going to play the song that my son played.
We're playing the music of your life on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHRs.